Brooke Kramer's Bill Henry Show from the El Pacifico here every night on the West Coast, 7 to 10, the East Coast, 10 to 1. Much love and many thanks to all of the stations that are on our network, our affiliate list, to our listeners, to our advertisers. Y'all are, our favorite people in the world, and we appreciate it. And all of our subscribers at philhenryshow.com, we appreciate that. You're watching us right now on Phil TV and HD. And Phil's getting better with that mute button, you know.
No, you're not. No, because your cat's gone on mute at one time.
What, man?
But why don't you speak English?
I'm speaking English.
Bud's right. He's right. I blew it with the mute button, man, on once. One break. And only for a few seconds. So I'm getting... I'm trying. Bobby Dooley is going to join us here, and we're going to talk about her interview today. With the very, very gifted, the talented, the revolutionary, the groundbreaking, a lot of things, Henry Rollins, who was in and talking to Bobby, and that must have been one for the books, man. I can't wait to hear that. That's going to drop on Friday. Vernon Dozier will join us to discuss the Bradley Manning verdict. Mr. Dozier is a teacher of social sciences as well as history at Belmar Academy. And teaches the junior and senior class there, so we'll get a educator's perspective on this very, very important current event, which I think they're going to be talking about in current affairs classes, current events classes, social science classes for a long, long time. But right now, let's get Bobby Dooley up on the line here from the Western States Homeowners Association and the podcast, the Bobby Dooley Podcast. And Bobby, a very pleasant good evening to you.
Good evening, Phil.
So tell me, how'd it go today with Henry Rollins?
Well, it was a lot of fun. Henry Rollins is a brilliant man, and I had told him, in my life, when I was dating Stu Galland, I think I mentioned this to you, and by the way, if Margaret is there, I would really, really appreciate it, Margaret, if you wouldn't interrupt.
I haven't said, I really resent...
She's right, please don't.
I haven't said a thing.
Well, you just talked and Mr. Henry told you not to.
All right, I'm going to hang up, Bobby. I'm not going to listen to you, and I'm not going to hear this arguing.
Why would you hang up on me?
Because I'm in studio. I'm one of the hosts.
Anyway.
Well, that was very adult.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, would you please ask her to not say anything. I'm trying to do my report on my podcast with Henry Rollins today.
Yes, we know. I'm waiting.
All right, Margaret. No more.
But
no more.
Thank you. Henry Rollins was delightful. He grew up in Washington, D.C. His mother was a big influence on him when it came to music. His mother introduced him to jazz. He said... Coltrane. I said, was that Cole Porter? He said, no, John Coltrane. So I learned...
About the jazz sax player.
About the jazz player. He played what?
Played a saxophone.
Saxophone, yeah. And then he told me about a lot of stuff that he told me about. And then we found out about him coming to Los Angeles, and he formed the group Black Flag, and how much fun they had, and all of the things that the punk rock people did, you know.
Like what?
Well, punk rock people pierced their faces with things and painted, I don't know. I know that I loved his music and I wanted to go see him, except Stu Galland.
Oh, God.
Margaret, please.
What's her problem now?
This is the second time with Stu Galland.
Would you please go ahead?
Stu Galland was my boyfriend. His father owned one of the largest sporting goods stores.
Sporting goods stores.
Yes, his father what?
Owned. Oh man.
Well, I'm nervous, Phil, because of his.
All right, Margaret, I'm going to ask you to.
That's all right. I have to go get a tampon.
Go ahead.
Stu Galland's father owned one of the biggest sporting goods stores in Southern California when I was dating him, so he was a pretty good catch. Now, I said to Stu one night, we were kids, and I said, I want to go see Black Flag at Madame Wong's, which was the punk rock club down in Chinatown in Los Angeles.
Right.
And he said, I've got tickets to see REO Speedwagon and Laura Branigan at the Universal Amphitheater. And he hauled off and punched me once in the mouth. That dropped me, but I bounced back up, and I was ready to go at it, and he hit me again. So he really sucker-punched me.
This guy that you're dating punched you?
Yes, but Phil, you have to understand something. We had fights all the time, and I got the better of him at least half of the time. Okay?
No, but this guy punched you in the mouth when you said you wanted to go see Black Flag.
Yes, Stu was, he was that kind of a guy, but he knew what he was up against. He knew every time I gave as good as I got.
Well, you know, whether or not you were, are you telling me that you and him got into fist fights?
We got into some doozies, yeah. And what happened, let me just explain to you something, Phil. I'm not a typical woman from the standpoint of a man hits me, and then I fall, and I go, I'm calling the police, which is what I should do. But my instinct, because remember my father was in the military, my instinct, when Stu hit me, he dropped me and stunned me momentarily, but I was back on the balls of my feet within, I'd say, 2 seconds. I went with a right hand. I probably should have gone with a left hand. I went with a right hand. He blocked it, hit me again. So I'm down for the second time. I bounced off a kitchen door, bounced off a sofa, and then I rolled over. He was about to kick me, and that's when I grabbed his foot, lifted him up off the air about 2 feet, and drove him back into it was a glass cabinet that my mother had. And I mean, we took that cabinet apart. But he was down, and he was down, and like, excuse me for saying this, like a bitch, he's laying there going, oh, I hurt my back, Bobby, I hurt my... And I said, the next time you think you're going to throw a hand at me, stud, think again. And I remember I took a damp rag, and I stuck it in my mouth. I just shoved it in my mouth to absorb the blood. And I went upstairs, and I started to change.
That's the most incredible thing I've ever heard.
You're trying to tell me that you kicked ass.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you.
How tall was this guy?
Stu wasn't big, but I'll tell you something. Hold on. He was put together. He was about 5'10". He was stocky. But you know something? All you had to do with Stu was stun him. You know how Deacon Jones used to say, you give me a couple of seconds, the blink of an eye, and I'm by you? Well, you give me a right hand, and I've got you where I want you. And he made the mistake of going to kick me. And I lifted him up off the floor and drove him right through this china cabinet.
Wow.
That's right. That's right. Read it and weep.
Well, I mean, okay, but I don't think that forgives a guy striking a woman at all.
No, I don't think it does either, but I'm just telling you.
So you wanted to go see Black Flag, did you tell, and you told Henry the story?
Oh, yeah, I told Henry all about it. I said, I wanted to go see you guys that night, but Stu had tickets to see Laura Branigan and REO Speedwagon, and I went, I don't want to see that, and he threw that right hand. I mean, he caught me. I wasn't expecting it.
But then he threw another right. He hit you twice in the mouth, and all you had to do was lift him up off the floor and drive him back through a china cabinet.
Oh, yeah, he was down like Mrs. O'Reilly's old bitch. Are you laughing?
No. All right, Bobby, so when does the interview drop?
It drops on Friday. It's Bobby Dooley with Henry Rollins. We're really looking forward to knowing what everyone thinks about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And we thank Henry Rollins so very, very deeply for being, for being a part of it. It was a lot of fun.
All right, Bobby, thank you. And we'll be looking for that on iTunes.
Yeah, it's on iTunes, Phil. It's going to be on your website, philhenryshow.com, on the Sideshow Network site. Sideshow Network is the sponsor. And just a lot of SoundCloud, a lot of places.
All right, Bobby, looking forward to it. Bobby Dooley there with...
Can I come in?
Come on in, Margaret.
I held my breath. I didn't want to butt in.
And you don't buy any of that?
No, I buy it because I know that her father taught her out of box. What I don't believe is that it took one... Driving him back through a china cat, I bet you it took more than that. I bet you it was a Donnybrook, and I'll bet you that there were some broken bones probably in her puss.
Why?
Have you seen her face lately?
All right, we'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show. We've got coming up Vernon Dozier, and we'll be talking with Vernon about... what are we talking to him about? Oh, yeah, the Bradley Manning case. The Bradley Manning case, and also an interesting story about McDonald's Big Macs. What do they tell you about the economy of the country they're being sold in? It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show, bringing on Vernon Dozier here from Belmar Academy this evening on this this Wednesday night. We got a I wanted to let all of my listeners know tomorrow night we are going to be featuring some comedy gold for you. Tomorrow evening I'm going to be at a an industry function.
Oh God.
Well, what's with the oh God?
Well, why didn't you just say you're hanging out with your Hollywood?
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm not hanging out with any Hollywood nothing. I'm hanging out with people that are helping me with a project, okay?
Oh, a project. Are you taking a meeting?
What's with you?
You're all jealous?
I'm not jealous of anything. I just think, Phil, you should spit it out instead of being so coy.
I don't want to talk about it until I'm ready to talk about it. Do you mind? We live in a time, in a day and age, and especially in an industry, where every little thing you say, somebody runs around. The next thing you know, it's all over the world, man. There's no secrets, you know? Do you mind? I'd like to keep a couple of secrets. I'd just like to keep a few things close to my vest. One of the things that's happened to me is I run my mouth too much. And you know what that's done. I got listeners that want to lynch me. Excuse me for using the word lynch, but I got listeners that want to...
beat you up.
Beat me up. Because I'm not necessarily accurate when I'm saying some things, and I don't want to do that anymore, if you don't mind. So I think that all things being equal, I just want to wait. But tomorrow night we're going to have that, and we'll be back on Friday night. And if this comes as a shock to my good, close, personal friend Peter there in Master Control, don't worry about it, man. I got it all covered. It's all great. It's all beautiful. You work. I don't. Now,
yeah, sure.
I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. All right, let's get over to Vernon Dozier on the line with us here from Glendale, California. Vernon, how have you been? It's been a very, very busy night here at the El Pacifico.
Well, I've been doing very good, Phil. Enjoying your program.
And tell me about the Bradley Manning verdict.
The Bradley Manning verdict, as far as I'm concerned, came out to a very, very satisfying conclusion. 35 years is how long Mr. Manning will be spending if there is a God. And excuse me for putting it that way, but I know that he would be eligible for parole in about 8 years, and it's just like our justice system, I think, when they said 35 years, I thought I was going to hit the roof. I was very, very grateful for that, very, very happy. And then when someone said to me, yeah, but, and I could almost feel my heart skip a beat, and I said, okay, what do you mean, yeah, but? Because I was watching this, Phil, with my attorney, Ted Jeffrey, and I said, well, what do you know about the law? And he said, I'm a lawyer. And I said, well, tell me what this is. They said, probably parole in 8 years. And he said to me, he thinks that this Manning is going to get paroled in 8 years.
Really? Why is that?
He just feels that it's one of these situations, oh, teach him a lesson, and he learned his lesson, and now he's going to... See, I can't get my students to understand this. I've got high school students, as you know, Phil, juniors and seniors, and they go home, and there's only so much a teacher can do. But you know those kids are going to go home to their parents, and when they go home to their parents... Everything you've taught them, every bit of ability to discriminate and to scrutinize a story and to read history and to collate facts, all of the things that you sweated and slaved over trying to teach these kids, the minute they walk into that kitchen and they see their mother or they see their father and they sit down to their plate of, you know, I just...
Okay, do you feel that you're fighting an uphill battle? A lot of these kids are going home to parents that are not that well versed in the news, that are not, they don't understand things, that they're maybe what is it?
They're turning over, or they're wrecking everything that you've taught them.
Well, I wouldn't call it wrecking. I think what happens is you work and you sweat and you slave like an animal, I mean, it's no different from what an animal, you grunt like an animal trying to, I wish I could tell you that teaching was a glamorous intellectual exercise, but it is more like, I hate to put it this way, but it's like you're on camera and you're just sweating like an animal. I don't know.
That is a very inappropriate analogy.
I'm sorry, but I'm trying to give you the idea.
Why would you go to a comparison like that? That is utterly obscene when we're talking about kids.
Well, I apologize, Phil. It's because it's been the summer, and I guess there's a lot of us men who've spent an inordinate amount of time watching movies like that, but
No, I don't think that's true at all.
All right, I'm not going to get bogged down in a discussion of who watches more adult films. We're talking...
What are you... Is he laughing?
Yes, he is.
What are you laughing at?
I'll tell you what I'm laughing at, Vernon. You're the guy that brought up, I sweat like an animal, and then you're bringing up, like, an adult film. And what has that got to do... I would think that you'd have more respect for the work you do.
I have nothing but respect for the work I do, Mr. Henry.
Then why would you compare it to the grunting and the sweating that you see on the screen when you're watching an adult film?
I was trying to reach for some. All right, then how about on a prison, like on a prison?
Well, these comparisons, do you like teaching?
Of course I love teaching. It's been my life.
Then why are you making comparisons to adult films and chain gangs?
Mr. Henry, I will tell you this. As much as I love teaching, and I love it more than life itself, I love teaching more than life itself. That's the truth. That's God's honest truth. But when I walk into that place, I get out of bed in the morning with great expectation and joy in my heart. I feel good. There's a spring in my step. There is a song on my lips, and there is love in my heart for every human being that I meet, just like the song says. But when I walk through that door into the classroom, man, it just goes. It's gone. It's dead. It's.
Well, what's going on when you walk into that classroom?
Well, three guesses. I'm walking in now. I'm taking a look at what I'm. See, in other words, I'm feeling good, and then I see the reality, and a lot of it is a reality that's very difficult to deal with. You've got kids that are smarter than you. You've got girls that are dressed in ways that, man, they never dressed that way when I was in school. So my mind's on that, and then you've got...
Vernon, as long as we've been talking to you on this program, I've heard you utter some of the most inappropriate things.
Well, you know, Margaret, you know...
She's saying something that I agree with, by the way. You have comparisons. You reach for things that... It's bizarre, man. It just is bizarre.
Well, okay, man. You know...
I'm sorry, but I'm just speaking the way I speak. So you like teaching... You go in there to teach the kids, and now you're confronted with kids that are smarter than you, girls that look too sexy or hot. What else?
That's it. Okay? But I will say this, Phil. The worst of all is when you go in to teach these children, and you know they're going to go home to a brain vacuum. That's what I say, where are you going tonight? Well, I'm going home, Mr. Dozier, and I'm thinking, and I'm muttering under my breath, yeah, a brain vacuum, that's where you're going to. You're going to a place that... The brains, man, you gotta, you know, if you were a female brain and you were looking for a male brain, you'd be lonely, because there are no brains, see?
Then what would you be doing there as a female brain?
Well, you'd be, in other words, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And all of this is a lead up to the Bradley Manning thing.
Well, that, I'd like to get to that because that's going to be interesting. We're talking here with Vernon Dozier. When you are here on the show and you launch into things, there's a lot of personal stuff that comes with your commentary. There's your life. There's the way you view teaching. There's your marriages. There's the way your mother treated you.
Phil, I bring to you want truth, don't you? I'm just reaching for things that are going to help me tell the story, and these things are uppermost in my mind.
Well, it would seem to me that by now you've dealt with these things.
Well, wait a minute. Do you think I'm some kind of a basket case that I can't deal with? My mother kissed me on the lips. Big deal. I've dealt with that. Some guys may not be able to deal with that, and you know how you go into the psychiatrist office? They're laying on a on a couch?
Yes, they're in therapy, yes.
All right, they're in therapy. Vernon Dozier doesn't do that. I don't do therapy, okay? And I can tell you that my mother, yes, would drop me off at school, kiss me flush on the mouth, and I told you, that she even slipped me tongue. And the reason why I'm saying that is because... Is that the end of the hour?
Yeah, that's the end of the... Hold on for just a second. We'll be right... I can't listen to these stories. We'll be right back. His mother slipped him tongue.
Well, he's been saying that...
We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Vernon Dozier talking about, hopefully, at some point, somewhere in the near future, Bradley Manning. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here until 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show, primarily an entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We've got on the line with us here Vernon Dozier, and we also have Vernon, a friend of yours, we're going to be bringing on the line here in just a moment. We're talking about Bradley Manning and the case of Bradley Manning wrapping up today. 35 years, Vernon.
That's to me, Phil. That is the that's the bottom line. We can talk all we want. We can talk all we want about my mother.
Yeah, I think we've discussed that enough.
Yeah, we can talk all we want about my mother and what she did, and that's a matter of record. But I celebrated today, along with so many Americans, when I found out that an individual who willingly and he wore the uniform of the United States military. That's the part I'm going to tell you. The United States Army needs to be purged in much the same manner, and I don't mean violently, but, you know, Stalin, Joseph Stalin purged the ranks of the army in the late 1930s because he felt that he needed to just clean that dirty, filthy pigsty. And, of course, to Joseph Stalin, whatever is a pigsty would be a good thing, you know, for you and me. That'd probably be something I'd want to sit down and eat. You know, I'd want to have a meal there. But for, you know, for, what's the guy's name? Not Karl Marx.
Joseph Stalin.
Joseph Stalin, that was. I think the U.S. Army needs a similar kind of cleansing. I've never seen a more stumble-bum. Who are these guys? And why is that? Why was that little dirty... words fail me, Phil. So I will say that the 35 years is a start. But if you get some federal judge, and man, there is nothing in the world that can ruin your day like a federal judge. Nothing in the world that can ruin a breakfast, because I'll sit down, and my life is good. You know me, Phil. I'm married to a young lady who I bless and thank God that the day she graduated high school, I was able to make her my wife. And she had been in one of my social study classes. And so ever since then, it's all downhill for me. And she'll make me breakfast. I can sit there. I open up the paper, and what do I see? Federal judge blank, blank, blank. And I want to hurt myself. And I understand why children cut themselves. Because
All right. Let me just get Father James McQuarters here.
Well, I'm not done with... I got Bradley Manning.
Yes, Father McQuarters is on the phone.
Well, this doesn't sound...
Father, it's fine. Father McQuarters, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good, and I want to say hello to my good friend and comrade-in-arms as well, Vernon Dozier. Vernon, how are you?
Father, I'm doing fine.
Vernon, I'm calling you as a friend, and I'm calling you as well as a counselor, and I'm calling you as well as a Catholic priest. And I know that you're not Catholic, but I'm calling you... as a friend, as a moral arbiter, if you will, an individual that can intercede on behalf of God and help you, because I believe I'm hearing from you this evening some comments that I find to be very obscene.
Well, I apologize, Father, but you and I have had this discussion before.
Well, we had the discussion about your mother. We know that your mother, when she dropped you off at school, slipped you the tongue. Now, you know that last Sunday when I was giving the homily... What was the homily about last Sunday?
I believe the homily last Sunday was about forgiveness.
That is exactly what it's about. It's about forgiveness.
But I was not able to hear all of it.
And I'm sorry, that was my fault, because, Phil, what happened last Sunday, while I was giving the homily, we have some young people that got into the church, and these are young people, Phil, that are they're developmentally disabled. You know, these young people that blurt out things.
Is it like Tourette's?
Tourette syndrome, no.
It's a form of autism, Phil, and they blurt things out.
So I was in the middle of the homily, and I wanted Vernon especially to hear it, because I knew I could see Vernon, and I caught him in my eye, and I looked dead in, I looked right straight at him.
Well, no, you were not.
I was not looking at your wife. You've got a pair on you. One of these days, you know, I'll give you a run for your money.
I'm not saying you were staring at her through the whole mass, but she even felt your eyes just burning right into them, you know.
No, you're full of...
All right, can we stick to the point? What a childish thing to bring up.
I apologize.
And Vernon, you heard, as soon as I was going to say, forget, you heard those three unfortunate boys in the back go, yeah! And Phil, I'm sorry, I'm approximating, I made a recording of it.
We don't need to hear that. Okay, I understand what you're talking about.
No, you don't understand what I'm talking about.
I think it's important for the father to demonstrate, because this is why I didn't get the message of the homily, and that's why I'm on your program talking about my mother slipping me tongue.
That's right. And,
oh, is that why? I see. Well, thank you. That's fantastic. So there is father going, eh. You know, it sounds like you're mocking those poor kids.
No, I am not. How dare you? How dare you?
Well, father...
No. You listen to me. I was there working on behalf of the disabled before there was anyone in this county, anyone in Los Angeles County. I came to this county, a young priest from Ireland, the early 1960s. There's no one to advocate on behalf. You know this word, advocate? You know this word, Vernon, advocate?
Yes, Father, I do.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have a word like that. They said, what are you doing, Father? I said, I'm going out, and I'm going to minister to the disabled. They said, oh, you're going out to your poor people, are you? Are you going out to your retards, are you? That's what they called them in those days.
It's very unfortunate.
Now, save it, Phil. Save, you know, you have the Padre punch your ticket on the way out, okay? He'll get you to heaven. I'm simply saying to Vernon here, you have to forgive. And when those boys came up for communion, I didn't refuse them communion, even though they slabbered. And out along the railing after the mass, there was slabber. And it was right there. As I said to the altar boy, I said to Jimmy, you know him, Jimmy Fest, but I said, Jimmy, you're going to have to go out there with a sponge or some kind of a rag and clean the slabber up. Hello?
Yeah, we're here, Father. Are you done?
Well, I'm sorry if it's grossing you out, you know, but this is my message. This is my ministry. This is my church. I'm not on the radio, Phil, talking all this fancy-dancy, talking to Vernon here about his mother giving him tongue, or I don't know what all, Bradley Manning, some midget, some little tiny midget in a beret. Back in my day, we found a midget in a beret. By my God, we gave him a beach ball, and we hired him in a circus. Now what do? They give him... They give him a rifle. They make a soldier out of him. A soldier. Have you ever heard anything so absurd in your life? A soldier. Little tiny man with a beret, and he's a soldier. Back in my day, why, we'd have him bouncing a ball off his nose, lickety-split. And all of the...
Okay, that, I can't take it anymore from him. I can't take... I'm sorry. I can't listen to it, okay?
Hey, listen, Phil, I would have hung up on him. And I, you know, I love Father McQuarters, but I can't take it when that...
All right, let's get to Bradley Manning here. And you know what, Margaret, you're...
Well, he's going to call back, and he's going to be very upset.
All right, give him my apologies, and just, Father, you know, we got to move on, man.
You could be all mad, especially when he's talking about a slabber.
What are you talking about, slabber? You mean slobber?
Yeah, I'm talking about a lot of people slobber.
Boy, that accent of his.
Phil, he is Irish.
Well, good for him. Sometimes I think he uses that Irish accent so he can get away with murder.
Hey, hear on that. Yeah, I second that emotion. You know, I'm backing you up 100%. Phil knows what he's talking about. I've known Father for a long time. Man, he'll try to wiggle his way into any situation. It's...
All right, so Bradley Manning.
Bradley Manning. And I will agree with the Father on this one point that he made. Here's a guy, 5 foot nothing, a buck nothing, with a little pink beret or whatever the hell he's wearing and his little jacket, and the guy's dressing up like a girl on the weekends. And I got nothing against that, okay? Whatever guns your engine, whatever a man does in his own time is his own thing, okay? We've had that argument in this country. I just want a guy who's going to fight for the country. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I draw the line at taking the secrets of this country and spilling them out on the internet while you're in a wig and you're wearing lipstick. I mean, do you know the joke that this country is around the world when that kind of thing happens? Yeah, America's secrets spilled out on the internet by some guy in a wig, lipstick, high heels. Are you kidding? I'm going to tell you right now, if they parole that Betty Boop after 8 years, I think it'll be a crime that rivals anything the Nazis committed.
Oh, get out of here now. Now you're being ridiculous.
Ridiculous? And what if it compromises the security of an entire nation, a great country like America? Okay, you think that's ridiculous?
I doubt seriously if that's the case. I will tell you this. I will, that's, you know, because I don't know the... Vernon, neither do you, man. I don't know the quality of the stuff that was spilled or leaked or whatever the hell you want to call it. But I will tell you this. All of these leaks creates a debate in this country that if we're honest, we realize that one side wins the debate and the other side loses. And if the Bradley Manning side loses that debate, then... You know, you and I, who disagree with that kind of activity, we're better off for it.
Yeah, but they'll never admit that they lose.
Well, it does. It's not up to them to admit it. It's not up to them. History is the teacher, and history proves the point ultimately. And these people that want to have this debate about national security, what, Margaret?
You're starting to give a speech, Phil. This is...
Yeah, we all beat all politics and stuff.
What are you talking about, man? I have an opinion.
Well, I led you into it, okay? And then McQuarters, McQuarters upped the ante when he started in on me about Slapper or whatever.
No, that was him talking about those kids. All right, Vernon, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we'll be looking forward to more from you on the topic of Bradley Manning. And Father McQuarters, I apologize to all of you for that, you know, that whole thing about a midget in a beret bouncing a beach ball. In any event, it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with our final segment here, and we'll just kind of go through the news, myself, Margaret, Bud, and what?
Well, you hung up on him.
Yeah, that's all we're going to... I'm not doing anymore with Vernon Dozier, okay? We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Woo!